Hey guys, welcome to the Godly Woman Podcast. This podcast is aimed at equipping and encouraging women on their journey with God. I'm your host, Monique Lake Phillip, and it's so good to be with you all today. Thank you so much for joining me on yet another episode. If you are a new listener, thank you so much for joining me. You're definitely in the right place. We have an awesome time over here. We love to dive into the Word of God. We do Bible studies and all of those things, so you're in the right places. And if you are a returning listener, I love you guys so much. I appreciate you all and thanks for all your support. So today we're talking about our tongue, right? Watching your tongue, watching what you speak, being mindful of the words that you say. And I feel like this is such an important topic because we live in a generation now where, guys, like, it's crazy. Like, people say the weirdest, craziest things on the internet. And if you are, you know, one of those persons, you are on Instagram or TikTok or any of those platforms, you're going to be seeing these videos. You're going to be seeing trending topics and stories with people just saying crazy stuff, right? And I love the fact that God calls us out, right? Out of the darkness, out from sin, and that we are redeemed. I love that God, He offers us salvation. Because some of us, we were once in sin, right? We were once people that would just give our mouths liberty and say all sorts of crazy things. But God, He has redeemed us. He has kept us. I remember growing up, you know, I used to be, I used to say whatever was on my mind. I felt like, okay, that was me being honest. But as I grew more in the Lord, I realized that, especially as women, you know, we are called to, we should be mindful of what we say, how we say it, not just as women, but as human beings, right? As children of God. But I just said woman because, you know, women, like, sometimes our mouths could be very, we could say very hurtful words and stuff like that. The Bible actually talk about it's better for a man to live on the rooftop than in a house with a quarrelsome woman, right? So our tongues are sharp and we could use our mouths to do like very sinful, evil things. We could use our words to do sin, to see, you know, things that are sinful and evil and all of that. So this episode is just to remind us to tame our tongue, watch what we say, and just to be careful with our words in general, right? Our words have power. The Bible tells us that life and death lies in the power of our tongue, right? And this is such an important scripture because if we really look at the fact that, okay, what we speak is not just like words that we just say randomly, like our words actually activate things in the supernatural realm. Our words are active and alive. Our words aren't dead, right? Our words are very much alive and can cause things to happen in the supernatural realm and in the natural realm as well. I know I'm getting like a little too deep here, but when we look at the Word of God in Genesis, God says, "Let there be light." Like, He used His words and He spoke and things came into being, right? That's how this entire world was created, by words. And let me actually get to that scripture because I feel like I'm going somewhere with this. This Bible study is probably just going to be chill, us talking about the Word of God, but I don't know, I already feel fired up, right? I feel fired up. Let's read Genesis 1:1, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." So when we go down to verse 6, "And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." So God literally spoke and He called things into being. And if we realize that we as believers, we have so much power with what we say, that's how we have prayer, right? We have prayer as a way of communicating with God, as a way of petitioning our requests unto the Lord. But even when we pray, right, not just praying, asking God for something, but praying and declaring things, praying and rebuking things, praying and shifting. Like, prayer has so much power in shifting the atmosphere. When we look at even worship music, right, the words have the so much power to shift the atmosphere. When we look at the Word of God, and even playing the Word of God in your homes, like, your words are just powerful, and our words has so much meaning behind it. So that's why we must be so careful with what we say with our words. Sometimes parents speak so many curses over the lives of their children simply by their words and simply by just what they say. You are good for nothing. You will never amount to anything. You're stupid. And all of these things, like, parents sometimes speak these things over their children's lives, and then they're wondering why their children is probably needing some extra assistance in school, why their children is behaving in a manner that is unknown to what is expected, right? It's because of what you say. If you constantly keep saying stuff, then that's going to be your reality. So we have to be so mindful of what we speak over our children, what we speak over our lives, our businesses, over our marriages, our churches, our government, our country, right? Not just like saying it, but even when you write it, even when you type it down, because sometimes you feel like, oh, well, if you write it, especially like on social media, right? When people make posts and stuff, you think like, oh, well, you know, it's not like you're actually speaking it, you're just like writing it. But that is a form of the written word. Like, that is a form of speech as well, like writing. So let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 to 22. And we're going to be looking at watching our tongue, watching our mouth when it comes to speaking about other people. And yeah, we're going to get to that. So let's turn to that. 2 Samuel 6, 14 to 22. So let's read 6 from verse 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord and go on 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked down through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, she came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of the servants." And one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, "It was because the Lord which chose me before thy father, and because of his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than Toss, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maidservants which thou has spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. So I know that was a bit lengthy, but it was so necessary to read. So here we have David. You know, they went through so much to get the ark of the Lord. And here we have Saul's daughter, who is David's wife, upset, right? How could David, who is a king, be dancing like that in front of people that are less than him, in front of people that are of a lower stature than him? Like, why should you be showing people that side of you? And she was upset. And she really didn't understand what it took to get the ark of the Lord. It clearly didn't seem like she did. And if she did, it seemed like she didn't really appreciate the efforts made, or, you know, she didn't see the importance of it, or whatever it is. But she was almost as if she sounded like she was just ashamed of her husband seeing him dancing before the Lord in that way, right? And that just got me thinking, how many of us judge the praise of others? How many of us are so critical when we see people in church dancing in the aisles or lifting up their hands. Now, I'm not talking about doing anything illegal or hurting anybody or anything, but if you are praising the Lord and it's not hurting anybody, it's not doing anybody anything, leave people, let them praise the Lord. Like, sometimes we don't even understand what it took that person, that woman, that man, that child to get to that place of worshiping and praising God. We have no ideas what they went through in the secret, in the dark. We have no idea the prayers that they would have prayed, the tears that would have flowed from their eyes. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know what people went through. We don't know their story. So leave people, let them praise the Lord, right? Sometimes we could be so critical and so judgmental when we see people in church lifting their hands. David, he was celebrating, right? They went through a lot. They got the ark back. He's dancing freely. How many of us could say that? You know, we have the ability to dance freely without judgment. That we could be in the house of the Lord, dancing and praising the Lord without fear of judgment. We have no shame. And we have no fear. We are free in the presence of the Lord. Our clothes isn't too tight. It's not holding us back. It's not revealing our act. Like, we are just free, right? We're free from the opinion of men. And we are in a non-judgmental environment. How many of us would say that the church is a non-judgmental environment when it comes to people really worshiping God freely? How many of you can say that? Yes, the church that I go to, no one is going to be looking at you and judging you like that. Like, girl, you can lift your hands. You could roll on the ground. You could bawl. You could cry. You could weep. You could do whatever you want. And your soul going to be minding your business, because guess what? People are going to be busy with their eyes closed. Praise the Lord. They wouldn't even be noticing you rolling on the ground and bawling. How many of us can really say that? Like, let us create spaces that allow people to be free to worship, and let us, as also, because the church is, guess what? The church is made up of you and I, people. So we have to change our mindset when it comes to praise and worship. Now, I'm not saying that David is perfect. I'm not saying that everything that David did was perfect. But I'm saying that there's nothing wrong with him worshiping God freely. Just like there's nothing wrong with us praising, listening to worship music, like praising Lord. Sometimes you might hear a neighbor. The music might be a little loud, not too loud to, like, you know, disturb the whole neighborhood, but you're hearing the music and they're praising and worshiping God and you're gossiping and you're judging that person. Why? Do you know why they're worshiping God? Do you know the things that they would have went through to get to that place of actually worshiping God? Like, you know, some people go through seasons in their lives where they can't even worship God. Like, they don't even want to listen to worship music. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to open their mouth. They far less even read their Bible. People literally go through seasons like that where they don't want to worship God. So when you actually see people, yes, life isn't perfect. Yes, they might be going through things still, right? But they still choose to worship God regardless of whatever they are going through. Leave people, let them worship. Like, watch your mouth. Watch what you say about people, because you have no idea what they would have gone through. You have no idea what they are even praising God for. And there's a song, a local song. It can't even come to mind right now, but it's basically like, oh yeah, you don't know the cost of my praise. I haven't heard that song in a long while, but like, you don't know the cost of people praise. Like, you don't know what it costs people to get to that point where they are actually in a space where they could praise and they could worship God. So this is just such a reminder that we need to give people an opportunity to be themselves in the presence of God without laying judgment on them. We need to be mindful of what we see when we see people openly worshiping God. Because what did it say? It says, she, right, Michal, the daughter of Saul, or Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Not one child she had. And who knows, maybe this was a curse of her judging David. Maybe, I don't know why did they put this here, like why this information was so important, right? And maybe, you know, I could do some extra research and stuff on that. But the fact that she was judging David for his worship, and then it says in the end that she had no child, and like, she died childless. So that's why we need to be so careful and so mindful, especially of people that are anointed, people that are called by God. Like, watch your mouth. Watch what you say about people that are anointed and those that are chosen by the Lord. I think of this prophet, I think it was Elijah. I can't even recall right now, but when I think some children were laughing at him and calling him bald head, and then like a lion came out and like ate them. Hopefully I'm quoting that in an accurate manner, but watch what you say about those people that are called and chosen by the Lord, right? Because you never know what they are going through. Like, you really, and that's the thing too, like, this world is a physical world that we live in. So when you're seeing people worshiping God, like, that is a spiritual thing. That is literally you being transformed into like a whole new space. It's not just like a natural thing. Like, people that are really worshiping God in spirit, the word of God says, let us worship God in spirit and in truth, right? So it has a lot to do with this, with our spiritual realm as well. So, you know, be mindful of that. He was dancing and his wife was displeased, and she was finding fault from her place of comfort in the window. Wow. She was in her bedroom by a window looking down at David, right? I'm not sure if she was in her bedroom, but she was by a window basically looking down at David. And how many of us, we judge people from our place of comfort? They are in the field. They are in the hot sun. They are working hard. They are laboring. They are sweating, right? Their muscles are moving. They are doing work. They are walking by faith, right? The Bible says walk by faith, take action. So they're taking action. Even in the midst of the unknown, they're in the battlefield. And some of us, we stay in our windows, in our place of comfort, in our place where we are being sheltered. No rain not falling on us, no hot sun not on us, right? We don't have to fight. We get in breakfast, we get in food, we get in water to drink if we're thirsty. We are in a place of comfort. But we're looking down at people and we're judging them because of their victory. People's victory may not be what you want it to be. You may not understand the victory that somebody just had. You may not understand why somebody is praising or worshiping God. You may not understand the level of the victory that they just had. But it's important sometimes that you remain quiet. It is important sometimes that you look, and you may not understand it. It's okay. Be quiet. Pray and trust the Lord and do whatever you need to do, but don't judge that person. Don't place your mouth on that person. We see people taking a leap of faith and probably starting a business, taking a leap of faith and doing something out of their comfort zone. Maybe starting even a podcast or a TikTok where they're sharing the gospel, or they're doing something creative. They're using their talent, right? And we're judging and we're finding every little thing that we possibly can't find wrong with what they're doing. But we're doing that from our place of comfort. We're doing that from our place of complacency. We're doing that and we're not taking action, right? You who are judging somebody else, you're not doing the thing that God told you to do. You're scared. You're operating from a place of fear. You're not stepping out in faith. You're not getting out there, right? You're not doing any of those things. You are just staying dormant and staying in your place of comfort. And that, my friend, is a very dangerous place to be. Because at the end of it all, we should seek to live a life that pleases God and glorifies God. Even if that means we have to be uncomfortable sometimes. Even if that means we will be judged by others. Even if that means we're not going to be liked. We're not going to be understood. Guys, like, sometimes as believers, I feel like Christians are some of the most misunderstood people on the face of this earth. Right? Because you're talking in tongues. Some people don't understand that. The Bible says some things, you know, and people read it out of context and they're like, okay, that's weird. And all of these things, right? So we are going to be judged. But at the end of it, we have to come to that realization that, listen, we want to please God no matter what. So it's okay if we're going to be judged. Like, if us following God means we're going to be judged and hated by the entire world, then fine. Because nothing is worth losing your soul over some judgment or over somebody. Like, just let it go. And if you are somebody that is constantly judging other people because you don't understand the victory that they just won, I just want to remind you that your words are powerful. And just be mindful of when you're casting judgment of other people, right? Some people, they don't know the cost of our praise. They don't know what we have been through, right? And they feel like it's okay to judge us from their place of comfort. And there's this quote by Roosevelt, which I'm not even going to try to say it right now, but it's basically saying that the person who is in the field, the person who is, like, actually doing the work, that is the person that should be praised. That is the person that should be celebrated. Not the one who is sitting from the place of comfort and casting judgment. Like, bravery. Those that are brave to go out in the battlefield. Those that are brave enough to do things that seem unorthodox. Those that are brave enough to put themselves in a position to be judged. Those that are brave enough to just, they're willing to obey God at any cost. Those are the ones that we should celebrate. Those are the ones that deserve the medals and deserve the praise and the clap, right? Those are people that we should lift up. And sometimes even in church, you don't feel free to worship God for fear of judgment, right? You don't feel free to speak up on your workplace. You don't feel free to say what is really on your mind with your friends because you're afraid of being judged. I just want to encourage you. If God has spoken to you and he told you to say something, say it. He told you to do something, do it. It doesn't matter if it looks weird, if it looks strange, if people might talk about it. You go and do what God told you to do. And I really admire that David, he was dancing freely. The maids were there. And he was, I mean, everything concerning this definitely wasn't perfect, right? Some people might say, well, there are different like interpretations. So there's people say he undressed himself in front of the maids or and like people say all sort of things. But I want to focus on the fact that he was praising God and he was celebrating God and he was so happy that he finally got the ark of the Lord. And it didn't matter who was looking at him. It didn't matter who was judging him. Like, and his response to his wife, he was like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do this again. Like, what is your response when people judge you and say, you're singing too loud in church, you're clapping too loud? I remember a few times, well, like, I probably was the loudest clapper in churches. Until somebody had to remind me, like, yeah, you're clapping, like, real loud. Like, I just used to be one of the loudest clappers ever. Like, I used to clap like if I was fighting. Like, listen. Right? But even that is a part of our praise. Even that is a part of how we celebrate. Right? We're all unique. We're all different. And if that is part of your praise, if that is part of how you worship God, then let it be. Right? So, I just want to remind you again that you don't know the battle that people would have won. You don't know what God would have done for someone else. You don't know what it took for that person to get to where they are right now. Some people literally was fighting for their life. Listen, some people crawled out of a hole that they felt that they would have never crawled out of. Some people crawled out of dark, deep depression where suicidal thoughts was constantly on their mind. Some people suffered with postpartum depression. Some people suffered with harming themselves. Thinking, like, listen, we don't know what people are going through. Like, sometimes you see somebody smiling and they're looking all nice and, you know, they have one Sunday best and they're smelling good and they're smiling and things, but you don't know the half of their story. So when you see them praising the Lord, stay quiet. If they're not hurting anyone, I don't see what's the problem with that, right? And you know, sometimes the most judgmental people are the ones literally not even moving a hip. In church, like, I'm sorry to say it, but sometimes we judge from our place of comfort, right? Which is exactly what we're talking about today. So somebody might be lifting up their hands and praising God, and the person who judging them literally might probably be sitting. That's kind of like, this world is so strange, right? People may judge you, but only you know your story. Only you. And I just really wanted to go and talk, like, this script that I'm about to read in James. Like, when I discovered this, I really was mindful of what I would say. Because as I said, growing up, I used to really speak freely. And I felt that that shit was just me. And that's who I am. And I say what's on my mind. But now, as I've grown and I've matured in the things of the Lord, I realize that wisdom and knowledge and understanding It comes from being slow to speak sometimes. You know, I was reading the book of Proverbs, and it speaks a lot about wisdom and knowledge and all of these things. And part of it is having a tame tongue. Part of it is knowing when to be silent, right? Knowing when it's time to just not say anything. Like, it's okay. It's okay to not say anything. Let's read James chapter 3, verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven off fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of the serpents, and of the things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deceit, deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Right? And it goes on to talk about the tongue. And it says, right? So it talks about the fact that we should tame our tongues. It talks about the fact that the tongue is so deadly. Our tongue is so poisonous, right? We could bless people with our tongue, and the same tongue, we can actually use it to curse people, which, as the Bible says, like, that should not be, right? It says the tongue, no man can tame the tongue. And so I just want to encourage us as women this week, this month, for this year, let us be mindful of what we say. Let us say things that are edifying to the body of Christ. Let us say things that are filled with wisdom, not folly or foolishness. Let us use our tongue for good, to praise God, to worship God, to uplift people, to bless people, to encourage people. Like, are we constantly using our tongue to be negative? Like, when we see people, it's just constantly negative thoughts in our minds and then negative things coming out of our mouth. Or do we refocus our mind to think about the things that are true, that are of a good report, right? The Bible says, think on those things. Those things that are true, those things that are of a good report, that's what we should think of. So that's what I want to encourage you guys to do. And, you know, there's this huge correlation between your thoughts and your tongue. Because a lot of the times you think it before you say it. Some people, unfortunately, don't even think before they speak. Right? You always hear people telling children, think before you speak. Because children tend to be, you know, tend to say like whatever comes to their mind. And then even adults behave like children. Even adults just say whatever would come to their mind. So think before you speak. So I hope that this episode has been a blessing to you guys. And I'll see you guys in our next episode. Be sure to follow me on social media. And stay blessed.